Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am so excited to introduce you today to Chris Plackey. Now, you know I'm a big believer in building your dream team, but I also know it takes a lot of work sometimes. And if you don't know what you're doing, it can be more of a headache than what it's actually worth. So Chris is here today to talk entrepreneurial management and to really help us build that dream team. So Chris, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
This is going to be so fun, and it's so needed. Even if you are a solopreneur right now listening, don't just think, oh, this isn't for me, because hopefully we can get you there as fast as possible. So Chris, I'd love to have you just explain a little bit. How did you get into teaching entrepreneurial management? What does that look like for you?
Absolutely. So it was all quite an organic unfolding, right? So yeah. I started my career early as a performing person in a individual contributor role. And I got into a management position, and then, I didn't know what I was doing. It was a startup. Okay. There wasn't a lot of support. So I had to figure out pretty quickly how to harness the performance of other people. That was sort of my first discovery when I started managing was, oh, yeah. Now my performance is based on theirs. That's a big fat drag, right? Mm-hmm. When you're used to being able to deliver, it's the same as an entrepreneur. So it really was just, I kept growing in leadership, right? And I just started to have this marriage of interests between leading, managing, and coaching. So outside of my leadership and management work, I was studying the art and science of coaching. And so by the time I was, by the time I was at about, I guess, about 15 years ago is when I hit this marriage point where I went to a workshop that Brooke Castillo was leading. She used to live where I live, and she was just getting her business started. And she taught me all the things about limited beliefs is what she called it at the time. And so then I took that back to my team. And that's when I realized how many people who lead and manage people have so many ways of thinking about their team that get in the way.
Yeah.
And so from there, that just took me through the process of eventually creating an internal performance coaching team for this whole company that I worked for. I was doing things locally, and then it just kept getting a little bit more attention. Mm-hmm. So then we just created a company-wide team of coaches. And so we were responsible for all of the leadership, management, and coaching development of about 4,000 leaders. Wow. So I did that for about 4 years. Okay. And then I left that business and started my own. That was about 8.5 years ago.
Okay.
And so initially I was doing a lot of corporate partnerships. So I was doing a lot of executive coaching, leadership training, that kind of work. And about 3 years ago, my work started attracting more and more entrepreneurs because so few entrepreneurs have any management training. And so I just found that I fell in love with working with entrepreneurs because they can make decisions and take action and do things. You know, when you're working with a big company, everything takes forever.
Right. It's so, not a quick, like, we should do this. Okay, let's. Right. It's like, let's get
morning
four and levels.
Like, yeah, they'll say, I need to fire this person. I'm like, yeah, let's talk about it. And then we do, and we role play, and they fire them that day. Like, I like movement. Mm-hmm. So now I'm very exclusive. I coach female entrepreneurs. We have the program called How to CEO. So we help women who are just getting started with their first team member, not really sure how to make that work, or women who already have a substantial team, but never really learned how to grow the team. And that starts to affect revenue and growth. So we kind of work with both sides of that paradigm. And,
it's all the fundamentals that I focus on, you know, hiring, firing, yeah. accountability, delegating,
all of the
all
things.
The really sexy stuff that you just wish you knew how to do, but kind of yes. gets in the way when you don't.
Yeah. Well, and what I've noticed is as the entrepreneur, we don't even notice we're bad at these things. We blame the other people. Yeah. We're like, oh, I hired the social media manager. She was awful. Like she couldn't deliver. She wasn't good enough. And it's like, but what training have you had as a manager? I mean, I'm somebody, the only jobs I've ever had were, you know, McDonald's and I waitress and I bartended. I mean, I've never experienced, you know, a level of management and never was a manager. So all of a sudden when I'm, you know, putting my team together and I started to realize, whoa, I don't know what I'm doing. I realized it was really time to start adding systems into place and figuring out how do I start to master and get better at being a manager. So I love that you are doing this because so many entrepreneurs just place the blame on somebody else when it's just, we've never learned this skill yet.
Yeah. And it really does affect growth. It's you know, I think that's the hardest part for me to watch is women who don't really learn these skills just keep being more and more exhausted. Even their businesses could make a lot of money, but they're like barely breathing, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that way. You really can grow a scalable business that you can step away from.
Yeah.
And do whatever it is that you love about why you started a business. Cause that's often what we lose initially. It's like, oh, I wanted to coach people. Why am I figuring out, you know, how to run a Kajabi landing page? Like, I don't want to do that. But you have to go through that process to really discover that. So you're absolutely right. If you have a consistent challenge with finding good people, we have to start with you. And I do, you know, I do have the sort of 5-step checks that you can go through to make sure, okay, are these the things, do you have these in place? That's how we know if it's them or if it's you.
Yeah. How many times is it them versus the CEO?
When I first meet people, maybe 90%.
Right. 90%, like it's the CEO's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it.
Not with intention, right. Not with any intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We have a lot on our plate. We signed up for this business because we probably had a passion for that thing. Yes. We were naturally good at that thing, but that thing was probably not management. So give yourself some grace that you don't know how to do this yet and just be open to learning that skill set.
Absolutely.
So, and that's why Chris is here. So Chris, as you bring on new team members to your team, how important is accountability and what are some things we can think about or should be thinking about when it comes to accountability?
Okay. So accountability is everything. But accountability is not a moment. Mm. It's not like an event. Accountability is a vibe. It's an expectation. It's in every conversation. And it really is, you know, we want to build accountability cultures. Okay. So the way that I like to think about accountability is it's about commitments, right? And as someone's boss or someone's manager, what we're doing on the regular basis, if we're really focusing on accountability, is we're asking people to make ongoing commitments, right? And it really does start with you, like at the very beginning, as someone who's running her business, if you haven't done it, you have to have a really clear and compelling reason that your business exists, like your vision. And the reason that is so critical is because that's how we first start to attract employees who want to do the work of your company. If your vision is unclear, people don't know what you do. Now you're just hiring someone to do work.
Yeah.
But you're not really hiring someone who's engaged at the level that I believe entrepreneurs, to your point, most entrepreneurs are passion-led, service-led, purpose-driven people. So your clarity there really matters. That's the beginning. Then you have to have your values really clear. Values are really how you're assessing people's behavior anyway. So you might as well be able to say what they are and communicate them. Mm-hmm. To really say, I expect people to be responsive. I expect people to demonstrate initiative. I expect people to be critical thinkers.
I expect people to close the loop. I expect people to look for the good, right? Like we all have our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're judging and assessing people through that lens anyway. So let's just declare them and teach people what they look like in your mind so that they can win with you.
I love that.
Those are critical that I think a lot of people don't think about. They think a lot about the job description, mm-hmm. which I think matters. Absolutely. That's step three.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the first two, you're not addressing the primary issues related to accountability, which are more behavior
mm-hmm.
at work.
And I think sometimes we hear company values and we see Zappos and these big companies and we think we need this pretty banner that we're going to put in our lobby. And company values are so much more than that. Like you just said, we hire off of them. We fire off of them.
Yes.
When I'm not happy with somebody on my team, I specifically would say, what value is not working here?
Exactly.
And if it's not on there, we're missing something in our core values because it clearly is bothering me, or I think it's important enough, like you just said.
Yeah, it's affecting performance. Yeah. Absolutely. Or their ability to really fit the vibe of the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's critical. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that you said that. I think a lot of old school value work has always been about what's on the wall in the lobby. The values that I teach and that focus on is, this is who I hire. This is how I fire. And that question that you asked is exactly what we do when someone's not working out, which value is being impinged on
mm-hmm.
because something isn't right. And that is the majority of what we usually have to address with people. It's mm-hmm. not skill.
Yeah. It's crazy that that's true, but it really is like the right type of person. The person that comes in and has those same values, they're the people that stay, that stay for so long. And it's cost a lot of money. It costs a lot of time to hire and train and maximize somebody.
Yep.
You want to keep your people as long as possible and have this amazing relationship. And like you said, set them up to win.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Okay. I cut you off. What is next after that?
Okay. So the next is role clarity.
Okay.
So now we do have to have a job description. People can't meet your expectations if you don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. So a job description is critical. And listen to me. I just have teaching hiring this week and not a CEO. And I know it's like, well, you want to poke your eye out to write a job description. Come on. Right. So I always just say there's only three things you need to have in a job description. Key result. Why do you pay this person money?
Okay.
Should be a sentence.
Love it.
Generate revenue, build engagement on social media, make my life easier. Whatever it is, it needs to be there. Mm-hmm. Then we look at the key objectives. So how will I assess that result is being achieved? And then we write the key responsibilities, which is all the crap they do all day. Mm-hmm. Now that's where we tend to focus. And that's important. But I always just want to remind people, and if you've listened to my podcast, I'm sure you've heard me say this. We do not pay people for experience, for skills, for time. We pay people for results. Mm-hmm. So I'm not paying for what you do all day. I'm paying for what you deliver after you did all that today, right? And the sooner you can get your brain clear on that, it makes hiring and managing and holding people accountable so much easier. Because some of the conversations, right, the rabbit holes we go down, like, oh, I know I really needed to get that done, but I had this and this and this, and I didn't have time to do it. I'm not paying you for all that. Right. Do you know what I paid you for? To make sure it was done today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. That's where accountability kicks in. I can't do that if I don't have a job description. Then we need to have measures. We have to know how to assess all of that. How do I know it was done? I love a weekly one-on-one. Easy peasy. Everybody has action items, commitments, things they said they'll do. And then there's an actual follow-through feedback session
mm-hmm.
that we talk about it. We flush it out. We make sure it was done. And that, to me, you have those five things in place and you're doing those consistently and someone is really still not performing. Now we can say, okay, this isn't working out. And that's how you set up accountability. But it is all incumbent upon you to do that work. And the good news is, though, once you do that, you use social media coordinator, right? As an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
once you have that role filled and you go through the process I just explained, then if they don't work out, it's okay. You've built the job.
Right.
Done. Now I have to do a better job, and there's some techniques to evaluate when you're hiring and all those things. But mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought it up because it's the biggest issue. I was just coaching a woman right before this call who's had somebody on her team for 4 years. He hasn't been performing for the last year. Mm. She says, I feel like indebted to him for right. what he did for my business like 4 years ago. I'm like, mm-hmm. And you paid him for it
mm-hmm.
4 years ago. Now you're paying him to not do anything. And it's not even you. It's the business's money. Does your business like that? That you're using its money?
Do him? The other team members like watching him underperform?
Right. Yeah. Doesn't send their best message, right? Mm-hmm. But it's so that loyalty and commitment that we have with people, it's all of us have to go through that. Those are growing pains.
It is. And it's hard when you do feel loyal and you're like, but they were a good person and they were yes. a hard worker. So they've earned
and they're
the
still
break.
Lovely. I like them. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's rough.
So good. So one thing I will say is because I've been a business owner for quite a while and I've done some of these exercises before. And mm-hmm. when they didn't work, it was like, I wanted to cheat. And I was like, Chris, just tell me what my company value should be. And then could you mm-hmm. give me the job description, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. Can yes. I look for those online?
Yes. Oh, totally. Copy, paste. This is my job description. When you don't ask like, what do I really want? What is this job position really like? What should it be for us? Mm-hmm. Whenever I would copy, paste, or just want to swipe Chris's or somebody else teaching online, I mm-hmm. never had success. And you got to do the work and ask yourself, like, what do I really want and need? And that's when it starts to become effective.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. You know, there isn't anything wrong. Like people will ask me like, oh, I really like that expectation. Can I have it? I'm like, look, you can take whatever you want. I don't have ownership over yeah. my expectations, but they have to be your jam. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to know, like, I know we are looking for shortcuts and I'm all in. I like everything to be as easy as possible. The easiest way to know what your values are is to think about the very best person that you've ever worked with. And it doesn't even have to be an employee that you've had. It could be a colleague that you did a partner program with or something. It does not have to be an employee, but just what were those characteristics that you're like, oh, everybody should be like this person. And then the worst one. You get that clear, like who was the mm-hmm. absolute worst person you ever worked with and what were their characteristics and behaviors. Now you have your own compass. You have your mm-hmm. own filter
yeah.
that you're using all the time anyway to kind of process other people's behavior.
Yeah. One of mine, to give an example, I realize what bugs me is when people are not resourceful. They just want mm-hmm. me to answer. And I'm like, oh no, like you need to be resourceful if you're going to be on this team, because we're all like doers and go-getters and we don't have time to help you get that
no.
answer.
No, I'm so glad you actually said that. The podcast I think that's coming out, like I recorded a bunch, but it's coming out in the next couple of weeks is all about I'm curious to see what your perspective is on this.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of my clients have had the problem with finding really cool, especially when they start hiring higher level yeah. managee directory people to help them. Really impressive professionals from impressive companies, right? Like mm-hmm. Microsoft,
yeah.
Disney, right? Like really, oh, this person's so cool, right? And they can't do it.
I know.
They can't work in an entrepreneurial culture because they're so used to having so many resources that they don't literally know how to like roll up their sleeves and be actual producers. And mm-hmm. so the frustration for the entrepreneur is lack of speed.
Yeah.
There's this lag. There's the sort of common response of, oh yeah, you're right. We should probably have a meeting to talk about that. And it's like, no, that's a Slack message. That
I was just going to say, this is the meeting right now. Let's figure this out.
It's getting handled. We're going to hang up and you're going to take care of it. Yeah. So it's not to be disparaging against successful corporate employees because I really don't, I was one. Mm-hmm. I get it, but it's a culture difference and working in an entrepreneurial environment is not the same. So is, have you had something happen like that? I'm curious.
Okay. So I don't know that I had that specific situation happen, but I can tell when somebody is so corporate, they're not going to like working for me.
Because
I am very fast. I can make up an idea right now. It's out there tomorrow. Like that is how I roll. And that scares them.
Yes.
So I definitely have to say things like that when it finally gets to me and I'm talking with them to see if they're a good fit, I've got to kind of figure out how do you like to work and what do you like? Because if you want to take a month to work out something, you aren't not going to like me as your boss, right?
No. Yeah. It's a great point.
So it's not that I would turn them down, but I definitely would make sure we're going to jive well together.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's such good awareness because I think that's that when we're relying on the other person to know more than we do, we get ourselves into trouble. Like, no, you actually know a lot about what you want done. You may not know social media that well, but you know what you want it to look like.
Yeah. So, and I would say years ago, I would sugarcoat the job description. Like I wanted them to feel like this is it. You want this. And I realized that that does not last. They get to they're unhappy. We have to let them go at some point or they fired. And I feel like now I flat out say, here's the thing. Here's what we really look like. Here's what we really do. Does that excite you or does it not? We've got to figure out if this is going to work. So we're very blunt and very honest. And especially if somebody, maybe somebody from my community, my listeners will apply. I'll even say, listen, we probably look very polished from the outside. We're a little bit more hot mess than
we look. Hot mess back here. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel? And they just laugh. And I'm like, okay, like they get it, but I need to make sure that people don't have this idea about me in their head. And then they get here. Yeah.
No, I think that's very real. I think that's actually a real issue. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure we're not as hot mess as a lot of people are, but I still feel like we are a lot. For sure. So, okay. I love this. Anything else with that piece, or you said those were the five areas to really get us thinking, is accountability going to work here?
Yeah. Like you've got to have the framework to hold some accountable.
Okay.
Accountable. And then the last real piece that you have to develop in yourself is your own leadership and managerial courage. Is that ability to have a difficult conversation, to address a performance issue, to say the things you don't think you should ever have to say to an adult. Like, seriously, do I have to tell you to do your stuff on time? Like, really? Right? Sometimes you do. So what I always teach my clients is, you know, facts forward, always lead with facts. Mm. This is not an opinion. Performance is not an opinion. But in the absence of the framework I mentioned, performance can feel a lot like an opinion and your judgment. And that's not useful in conversations about performance because it can feel very personal and we don't want it to. Cause I've been madly in love with people I've had to fire.
We make it personal. I make it personal. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I like you. You're a good person. I give people too long to figure it out. And that was something that I had to really think about hiring somebody in management to go, I need you to be a little bit stronger here because I'm not cutting it.
Yeah.
I'd fire if I could.
Yeah.
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 So
it's okay. It's good to know that. I think what I'll say, just because this has been some of the clients when I've met them, they're like, well, I just want to hire somebody to manage my company for me. Mm-hmm. And I have a rule. I won't work with those clients. So I always say, you first, then you can hire whoever you want.
Yeah.
You've had to do it and you've learned. You may not be great at it. I actually just had a client who just said this to me the other day. She's like, I now know. I know how to do all of it. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I want to hire a CEO. Let's go. I'm all in because now I know no one's pulling the wool over your eyes.
Yeah.
You know what could, if you had to, you could fire them. But the, but the weakness for people is they don't even know. And then they hire someone and then they're very disconnected.
Yeah.
From that part of their business, which concerns me over time. So I'm glad you said that because sometimes
they
take that in. They're like, I just don't want to really manage. Like, oh, honey. You can always manage someone.
Yeah, I was going to say, not that you have to manage everybody. How many people do you believe should be directly reporting to a manager? Like, how many should I be talking to? And then it's like, oh, we need to put a manager in place.
I think at the CEO level, I would prefer you don't have more than a traditional C-suite. So you've got your COO, maybe your a CFO for sure, maybe a CTO if you have the technology element of your business.
Yep.
And then maybe like a marketing, chief marketing kind of person. Yep. Depending on the house, usually most of my clients, it's like a COO and a CFO.
Yep.
Managers and directors, it's funny you should ask me this because when I worked in the startup I was in, we really did this. We figured it out. And I've been a firm believer of this since probably like 1999. It's eight.
Okay. That's the number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And more than that, because that's if you want to be able to do one-on-ones,
yeah,
have relationships with people, to have a level of communication that is, I think, important for effective leadership. If you don't care about that, you could have 25, but then you don't run your business in a manner that I think gets you long-term growth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bet we'll have people listening here that have 25 employees and they don't have managers.
No, they don't.
It's them.
Yeah.
And their phone is getting text messages all day long, ringing off the hook because 25 people are reporting to them.
Yeah, I know.
I was one of those people for sure a decade ago, for sure.
Well, and the brick and mortars, you know, I would say half of my clients are brick and mortars. So they're shops, they're floral shops, seafood shop, gyms, you know, physiotherapy clinics, doctor's offices. And getting those folks, the vet.
Yeah. we could just keep going.
We got her first office manager and life is like changed, right? Mm-hmm. But that I understand when you're used to being in the building and that initial delegation of the management of the team, the floor, the door being open, the door being closed, it being cleaned at night, that is going to be the hardest hire. Mm-hmm. But once you make it and you finally get that best person, that's when magic starts happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. Okay. Yeah. I can't believe we're already 30 minutes into this. I feel like we just started. Okay. So I want to ask you as we kind of wrap up here, what is something or a tip or two that we should be thinking about to really step into the CEO role? Like, what are things that you tell your listeners?
Oh my goodness.
I know. We could just talk for another hour and a half, but that's okay.
I mean, no, we could do it. Okay. So I know we've kind of beat this up, but I want to stress it. Like, the framework I just mentioned, if you don't have it, do it. It's how, you know, there's an evolution of growth, right? The solopreneur is all about me, which is exactly how it should be. The entrepreneur, we start to introduce we. CEO to me is us, which is different than we, because entrepreneur, we're all on the same, we're almost still on the table together. CEO is you at the table consulting and advising, but not doing. And it's the gift. Becoming the CEO is the gift of all of the work you did before, in my opinion. I think being in the CEO role is amazing. It's there's so much you can create once you achieve the structure to your business to sit in that role. So I can't stress that enough. And the second thing, as your business is growing, again, this was a conversation I just had with a client. She just had a banner growth, right? She went from a million to 2.5 million and almost three in a year, which is, that's exciting. That's amazing, right? But I told her, I said, your team and you have to stop thinking about mom's business in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
This is a growing up business. She, the business, needs a seat at your table. You are all now her custodian. And it can't just be, I need people to help me. This is us. And now you have built something well beyond you. And so the mind shift that we have to go through when we hit a million,
when we hit usually about 3 million to get to five, like there are these segments, right, of growth. And the introduction of imposter syndrome, fear, you know, I hear all of it. I don't really know what I'm doing, all the way to, I don't even know if I want this. So you can't underestimate the importance of having support for yourself as a woman leading this enterprise as it grows, because you have to grow with it. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen overnight. That is part of the process. And I do think that's part of what keeps women small, their businesses small, even though they don't want it to be. And because change and growth is uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. But look at, if you've proven a business model that has a few couple extra zeros at the end, that's good news. Now we got to all keep up where we're going. And we build that business now from the five-year goal, not where we are today and how we want to get through next year. So we have to ask ourselves different questions. So the practical advice in there to me is set up your framework and make sure you have a place to go to work on your thinking about who you are as a CEO, how you want to show up, how you want to lead this business differently than you did the first half of where, how, what got you to where you are.
Yeah. I love that so much. And when you say, you know, to be the CEO and to not be doing, but to be there. But my question for you is, what happens when you're like the face of the business and they need you to perform? I know, did I just throw like a wrench in that? Because the personal brand, the personal brand just messes that up. We're going to have you come back on and be like, tell us what happens.
Well, I'll just give you the long and the short, because this is so many of the people I coach.
Okay.
And
I know you're like, where do I start? It was too good of a question for me to not ask. Cause I'm like, but what about that?
No, it's brilliant. Give me a minute. I have so much I want to tell you. First, I want to say is it can totally be done.
Okay.
You have to want it.
Yeah.
You have to build it so that it doesn't demand you. Like, right. A call I had earlier today, she's like, I just don't want to be the one who does the sales calls anymore. I'm like, okay. We don't build that structure anymore. Mm-hmm. Of course, the fear. I'm like, do you know how many women have successful businesses and they don't talk to anybody?
Yeah.
Before they give people like thousands of dollars. So if you're an online business, right? So you have to have the vision of what you want to build. If you want to no longer be the face, right? Yeah. Then you have to stop being the face. There's like this, there is a little bit of a bridge. It's like a swinging through a jungle.
Yeah.
You've been on this vine, you know, it's strong, you know, it's going to hold you. It goes back and forth just fine, but you've got to grab it. But before you grab that next vine and say, okay, I'm going to grow, I'm going to do this next launch, and it's going to all be pre-done.
Yeah.
That's like baby step number one. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then over time, right. I have a client and a girlfriend whose goal is to be out of the personality brand. Mm-hmm. And there's a timeline.
Right. And there's a way to get there. It's not like tomorrow we're switching it off. Yeah.
And I'm in the same position where I knew that going into it. I've coached enough of you that I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So we already, everything we do, because I've already had like, could you just do one webinar? Do you think you could just do one? I'm like, well, and then I'll even say it. Well, should I just do one? Like, wait a minute. And then fortunately, my team said, no, what you did already was amazing. I'll take it.
I love it.
So you're asking a really important question. And I think it's a incredibly important part of a strategy if it's not what you want long-term, because you're absolutely right. You start to feel so burdened by your own company.
Yeah.
And it can be built. I just want you to hold that belief. If you're listening to this, you can absolutely build a business that doesn't depend on you. And I like to think about people who did start very much at the center of their business and have removed themselves, like, and Martha Stewart's a great example, right? Yeah. She still does stuff, but she's a brand, but it's not on her. Mm-hmm. Then there's other companies that were started by women, Orange Theory, Spanx, there's the Hint Water, right?
Yeah.
we don't necessarily think of the farm girl, Flowers.
Yeah.
She's involved, but you don't think of her. You think of her product. And that, I have to believe over time, that was a strategic decision.
Absolutely. And I think you have to understand too, that we all want different things.
Yes.
Some of us like the sales call. Some of us like going live. So don't look at somebody and think, oh, I don't want to do what she's doing. And that's the only way it can be done.
Right.
You get to pick and choose.
That's the goal. And that's part of like why you need a job description.
Yeah, for sure. We need to get
really
clear
about what's your job. Yes.
Yeah. I love that. Chris, this has been amazing. I could keep chatting for so long. Where can people find you, your podcast, social? Where do you want to send them?
Sure. So I do have a podcast called Lead Your Team. Drops every week and it's about
so good. I'm going to plug that. So good. Go check it out.
It's all the things that we talk about. And then some. And then I'm on Instagram, Chris Plackey Coach. So I'd love for you to engage with me there. And then we do have a quiz. So you mentioned solopreneur, entrepreneur. Yeah. So we have a quiz that we're doing right now that people are really enjoying. If you just go to myceoquiz.com, and what will happen is you answer some questions and it will tell you, okay, are you still thinking like a solopreneur, like an entrepreneur or a CEO? And then depending on how you answer, you'll get some feedback and some ideas, additional things to think about. So that's a cool, quick resource to just give you a little more perspective and insight.
Yes, guys, go check her out. So much good stuff. Her podcast is loaded. Every little tiny thing we just talked about, it's like there's so much in there. So go check it out. Chris, thank you so much for being here today. This was so great.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before you go, have you considered joining us in our next 30-day bootcamp? If you are loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, then you will love the Beginner Bootcamp, where we help you build your first marketing funnel in just 30 days, and it's only $97. Hurry and register at stacytushel.com/bootcamp to sign up for our next live bootcamp starting on the 1st.